is the new pastor and I told me today is my vice chancellor, Lisa Lovely. And I said, does it come by? Welcome. Before I start 2016, and we have a whole agenda of bills today, so many of you haven't heard before, we'll be doing them out, closing some public testimony. So, with that, I will, my wife and Senator Stevens and Senator Ellis are excused. So with that, we have Senate Bill 127, the Chair's Use of Credit Histories in Scores. This is the bill's second hearing. It is my intent to hear, from the, what the role of the committee after we adopt the community substitute. I'm sorry, there's no community substitute. I'd like to invite you, Michael, from the Department of Commerce. Thank you. For the record, my name is Tina Moore. I'm the Deputy Director of the Division of Insurance for the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. And do you have any comments on the bill, or are you interested in providing anything? Madam Chair, thank you, Madam Chair. Director McIntyre has previously spoken to this committee and answered questions. If there are additional questions, I'd be happy to provide any input and responses, but I do not have anything additional to add.
Are there any questions from committee members on Senate Bill 127? Can I see the sponsors? Thank you for inviting me. Any comments from the committee? Okay, thank you for being here. I appreciate that. All right, with that, I'd like to ask Senator Giesel to provide the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move on the committee. Move Senate Bill 127, Motion 29, LS0529, that's what we received from this committee with the original recommendations of the tax level.
Is there any objections to the hearing? Okay. So we now move to the case of the CFP report.
Call Senate Newark Commerce Committee back to order. Next on our agenda, we have Senate Bill 158, which is real estate broker licensure requirements. This is the bill's second hearing. And from the administration, I'd like to invite Jane Hannigan to the Department of Commerce. Was there anything that you wanted to provide to the committee about the bill from the administration's standpoint?
Thank you. Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Jenny Hadley. I'm the Division Director of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. I testified at this earlier, and I did provide follow-up to some questions that were asked. And besides that, I do not have anything further to provide.
Does the
support by real estate commission and the department for books first because it provides a good public protection.
Okay. Any questions from the committee members? Senator Eagle?
No questions?
Okay. Senator Eagle?
Thank you. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 158-329 LS-1303 XYZ from the Committee on Individual Obligations and any tax resolutions.
So, any objections to the main bill? Okay. Seeing none, so moved. We're going to take a brief recess to sign the paperwork.
Is there anyone here in the room that would like to testify on Senate Bill 126?
public testimony is closed.
I move the committee adopt the CSU Senate Bill 126, Work Order 29, LS1284, backslash list. Is he passing with the document?
No objection.
Thank you, Commissioner. Members of the committee, the record must allow the staff to the Senate member in Congress to be having a substitute and make two substantive changes. The first is a deletion. If you're looking at the original version of the bump / A, the deletion takes place in section 1 on page 4, in lines 8 through 13. This provided basically.
Apologies, Madam Chair, again, just speaking to the deletion of this section that is not in CS.
We're looking at the original bill / A. In section 1 on page 4 of the bill, lines 8 through 13, this section is deleted. The section basically provides for the administrative assistant, the director of the Division of Banking and Securities, to inspect or kind of have oversight of an internet portal that would be for sale for these securities, for these small securities, and no more than 7,500 per listing. In consultation with the department, Madam Chair, we decided that this is not a rule that's better handled in regulation. It's this being kind of an innovative new field of small securities. The department intends to adopt this provision and these safeguards via regulation, but ask that they not be in statute so we have some flexibility and can work with entrepreneurs and others who want to pursue crowdfunding on an opt-out open this. This language in statute just provides a little more flexibility for them to get this program. The second,
So, does the bill also allow, is it allowed for the department to continue to draft those regulations that they would have the section of this?
Yes, ma'am. So.
Okay.
Secondly, Madam Chair, and everyone was trying to turn to the CS to the / W that the committee has just adopted. At the request of the department, the committee substitute also has new language on page 4. Again, this is section 1 of the CS just adopted, lines 11 through 15. This inserts a disqualifying provision, Madam Chair, and that basically states that if someone is subject to a disqualifier or is violating the federal security laws, the Dodd-Frank Act, that they cannot use this exemption for crowdfunding here in Alaska. This disqualifier was not requested at the desk of the administration. This allows, again, because the bill exempts the small cell securities program from the Alaska Securities Act, but puts in additional sideboards. All this addition says that if you have been in violation of the Dodd-Frank Act or federal securities laws, you cannot take advantage of this given your commercial taxes. Those conclude the changes in the CS, Madam Chair.
Are there any questions of Lady on the Committee Substitute or on the Department?
Madam Chair, if I might have my apologies to the Senator staff or Senator Labor and Commerce Committee at the previous hearing, Senator Diesel asked about a provision in Senate 138 that would allow and actually require the Department of Revenue to conduct a report on how Alaskans get kind of business in. The project in the gas line. Consultation talking with the department, it's their intention that such a report would be presented and that once a commercial agreement is presented to the legislature. So I guess probably there was a different scale in this bill and follow up, but we've been in contact with the department and they're investigating that topic. They have a few bizarre under contract that they're reviewing at present, but they don't anticipate bringing that forward, really researching it further until a commercial agreement is presented and to the legislature.
Do we know if the once that occurs, assuming it might occur, that it would be in this statute, this portion of the state statute?
Madam Chair, my guess is, it would likely be in a different set of statutes. This is a securities exemption that is regulated by the Department of Commerce. Made in official terms that have to deal with the possible ADOT project along the gas or other department provided or another set of statutes. So it would likely be, again, kind of a larger concept that would be in a different part of the state law. Thank you, Mr.
Yes. here that she's being left fully according to regs, so we have to go out with this. As well as enforcement requirements, not to mention it costs state significant money and time and still being repeatedly dragged through the legislative process, which is probably paying in time of fiscal crisis. Now, during this bill, he's coming up again and again. In the 28th legislature, when Senator Mike Dunleavy was the chair of the committee and came through then, and it was extensively amended, and there was language that was changed in this bill, which I'm not seeing now. But the efforts to definitely put into this bill, I don't see this budget look down. Now that we've got it at least that we have now. The reason that this is coming up is because we are a lobby that continues to tenaciously chip away at the people. The contrary is wrong. It comes up again and again and again. Now, at the last session, last year, it came up in HB 1, where it was about a month maybe before it got stuck in finance, which is where we need to go in terms of the potential fiscal deficit. I talked to Representative Jefferson afterwards, after he voted for this thing to go through, and we talked to him on the phone, and they said, yes, we're just going to remember it today. So, I'm sorry, he's not allowed to still go any further. You can either kill the bill on the phone or consider further considerations that you guys can look into.
Thank you, Mr. Squires, and I do want to mention to the committee that the bill in front of us today is significantly different than the versions that were just described. We also have a committee substitute that clarifies that the period it begins after the period of construction begins. So it's not when the home is completely built, but it's when construction begins. And then it requires the builder to file, essentially notify the department. Previous versions of the bill actually required the builder to get permission, which I do agree with Mr. Squires that was a liberty he has spoken. So we'll make that discussion so that you can answer any questions. I appreciate you calling in. Our next, Pam Grant.
Thank you for
council, baseball, God, and no one listened. No one paid attention.
Thank you for calling in. Next, Vivian Carr, calling from Los Angeles.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Lester and Ellis Smith and Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. I'd like to substitute to make two small changes of replacing the word finishes with or completes finishes with begins. The bill itself revolves around a 2-year period by which if an owner-builder sells their home must report to the Department of
Commerce. Pointing out the
second
page, page 3, line 4,
if you correct me. Yes, Madam Chair, specifically two changes. Page 1, line 11, inserts the word begins. Replaces the word ends with begins. But same change is also made on page 3, line 4. The rationale for this, Madam Chair. Again, it's a 2-year time period, and talking with the department stakeholders and also responding to questions from committee members, we found that when construction ends, it's a little bit more of a nebulous time frame. It doesn't, whether it's inspection, whether it's occupancy, and so it can be substituted. That begins that clock when construction begins. And talking with the department, the practical implications of this would be when foundation flames on the residential structure are put into place. This just clarifies so that moving ends ahead and begins in the two sections of the bill.
So if it takes an individual 4 years from the beginning of construction to the end of construction, would that home builder be affected by this bill?
Madam Chair, no. The idea here is to try to monitor and have registration for folks that are not taking advantage, but are using the owner-builder exemption in licensing law that allows licensees to build their own homes. But if they are selling those homes within that 2-year period, this bill would require them to register a document then with the State Department. That way, we can be sure that this is, that exemption isn't being used for the most commercial activity that should be. Madam Chair, the Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development, is issued a zero fiscal note. The department is here in the room. I can speak to you, or I can speak to the text briefing if you'd like. Basically, under current law, property owner acts as their own power shelter. They construct a home, duplex, triplex, fourplex, or commercial building every 2 years without a contract and license. This bill just maintains that exemption that requires an owner who advertises the structure for sale within 2 years, but to file a form with the department stating that the owner is not engaged in a business that requires contract or licensing. The department doesn't anticipate processing that to have a fiscal impact on the budget.
My final question is, can you talk to the public value that this bill is intending to promote?
Certainly, Madam Chair. This is really about kind of consumer protection. It's a consumer protection bill. As the committee heard in prior testimony, there's a good deal of activity happening as Alaska grows along the railroad into other regions. And as Alaska grows, it's an important that we have consumer protection for those who are buying homes from long-term houses. The bill provides legislative intent that says that we want to make sure that we're not infringing on any Alaskans wanting to build their own home, only that when those properties are then turned around for commercial sale, the department will now be able to monitor that and see if there's a pattern, if there are builders that are using that exemption, claiming to be owner builders, but that are selling a substantial number of facilities and homes under that. It's allowed the department to look at that and see if there's fraudulent or business being done that's probably not on board, and otherwise following your license contractors who have bonding, acting as certified, during any others in the construction of homes that they sell to Alaskans.
Thank you. I'll
move my objection. Is there further objection or questions for committee? Seeing none, committee staff, please adopt it. And Senator Sullivan, I'd like to move the bill. Thank you, Madam Chair. I move CS 2761, Marshall 2, and FLS 1319. That's actually what's here for committee. The individual recommendations of the tax
facility is on board. Are there any objections? The Securities Act policies and portals, this bill is in its third hearing. The intent is to continue public testimony. We do have a committee substitute, and then we will look to the will of the committee. Is there anyone online who wishes to testify on Federal Wild Bait? Is there anybody in jail who would like to testify on Federal Wild Bait? That's actually not surprising, but without a close to the testimony. Senator Easley, would you like to look at that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the committee adopt the CSR Senate Bill 108-1329 LS1060-Lesky as a working document.
Thank you. I will address you the question. I will please you can explain it to us.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, West Island staff to the Senate Bill and Commerce Committee. The primary change in the CS2 bill is a reordering of sections. This bill, again, was originated by the administration working with legislative legal and conforming to their standards of drafting. The sections of the bill, which have been vetted thoroughly by the committee, we've had several hearings on, are reordered so that it begins with amendments to state law in Title 6 and goes to Title 45. Those are the sections of the bill that, or those are sections of law that this bill touches. And reordering it just starts from smallest to largest, beginning with the amendments to Title 6, including with the amendments to Title 45. Members have sectional in their packets and details of those. Many of the changes in moving those are primarily conforming changes in the reordering of the bill. The two substantive changes in the committee substitute, Madam Chair. We're originally in the original version of the bill, if members please reference it on this, in the announcement since its deletion, in backslash A, this page 99, line 31 to reach the variable annuity.
Can you give us a line on that? Show me that line.
Yes, line 31. Okay. To reach the variable annuity.
So are you going to see that in line?
Thank you.
Rural Commons was pulled back to earth into, and they are having the changes to the community substitute explained to the community of survivors, which is forever.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll go ahead and just talk on my part. The first change to the bill is removing the generation of variable annuities. Those will be removed from the bill at the request of the administration and continue to be regulated by the Division of Insurance. The change from the previous version, again, backslash A, is on page 88 of the old version, again, backslash alpha. And then this is under subsection 30, references the variable annuity, the definition regarding this bill. This is going to be removed at the request of the administration to retain the regulation of that under the Division of Insurance. I'm sure that's line 8. It says a deposit of security, medical settlement, or variable annuity is the required change. The second substantive change, Madam Chair, from the previous version, backslash version alpha, is on page 13, line 24. And this would remove, beginning on line 24, section 2556-220, small interest rate securities offerings. And this is removed from the CS Madam Chair because that is apparently that is crowdfunding, which the committee has addressed and is advancing through another piece of legislation, and it was Senate Bill 126, which was before the committee earlier today.
So that entire section
is not true.
Which ends then on page.
Yes, ma'am. So that is removed again, just being handled through a different vehicle. Piece of legislation. The remaining changes, Madam Chair, as I mentioned previously, are just reordering down below the Senate legal, taking it from the changes to Title VI through Title 45. Director Jackson of the Division of Banking and Securities is also on the line for technical changes. She worked closely with her office in conjunction with the CS.
Thank you. And I will remove my objections with the substitute. Is there any further objection? So, we have adopted the previous substitute. But before we move the bill, I was hoping that these come from the Division of Banking, just from the committee's education. You know, this is a large bill. This is its third hearing. But could you again just give us the 30,000 foot rationale for this bill, please?
Certainly, Madam Chair, thank you very much. My name is Julianne Bell, and I'm the Division of Banking and Securities. But there are several reasons why it's important to look at the modernization of the Securities Act. I'll just have a moment before I have my full list here. We want to recognize and incorporate the current securities industry terms and standards. And this is the community to remember. We even get that building a telegram in our current law. And of course, our current law is international current. We also wanted to provide the state laws to make it easier for businesses, consumers, and investors to understand their rights and responsibilities, as well as their opportunities for them. We want to continue our business and utilize the ICs for having a license. And it's important. We enhance penalties against those who form older bonds. And finally, but still importantly, it's important to separate the security statutes from the regulated and settlement act statutes to reduce confusion and to understanding of both the Securities Act and the next act of the settlement. Are there other questions in our mind?
Any further questions for Ms. Ansel? Well, thank you very much for the diligence and having your meetings with me to go over this bill we didn't have anybody to testify from the public, but it really is a bill that does affect the public, and so we appreciate the work of the division and the department to bring this forward. Senator Kissett.
Madam Chair, I move this case for Senate Bill 10892, LS 1060/23, for the committee with individual recommendations to attach this bill.
Is there any objection to the bill? Okay, seeing none, so moved, and committee is adjourned to F3.